Welcome to the Making Artists podcast, where artists learn how to stop starving, struggling, and aspiring, and instead start making. You don't need a fine arts degree, a trust fund, or a more supportive family to be a successful artist. You just need to let your creativity lead you all the way to the top. I am fellow artist and professional certified coach, Nancy Sun, and I teach artists just like you how to make art, money, and an impact without giving up or burning out. Listen to learn how. Hey artists, surprise, surprise, it's a new year, a new lunar year, and a whole new season of Making Artists with a bright, shiny, new Making Artists podcast episode. And to begin, I have a little confession. I'm scared, y'all. I'm scared because I haven't done this podcasting thing in a while. If you're downloading and listening in real time, you know it's been over 3 months since the last episode dropped, which means it's been over 3 months since I last recorded. So I'm scared because I'm rusty. I think thoughts like, I don't know if I have anything worth saying right now. I don't know if anyone is even listening anymore. And I worry whether or not this episode or this season will be successful. And I measure that by asking myself the question, will I be satisfied with it? Will you be satisfied with it? And fortunately or unfortunately, there's only one way to find the answers to these questions. And that's by actually doing it. By hitting record, hitting publish, and seeing how the cards fall. On a friend's podcast, I heard the adage, it's hard to steer a ship that's not moving. And that quote applies to me in this situation right now. I have no idea if I have anything worth saying, if I will like saying it, if other people like you will want to listen to it, and if you will get any value out of it, unless I do it. I'm sharing these thoughts and my brain with you, so if and when you also feel scared, and when you worry whether or not something you want to do is worth doing or not, you can know you are not alone. I think these thoughts and feel scared just like you, even though I have all the self-help tools as a professional certified coach. Because as a coach, I know coaching is not about stopping these thoughts and feelings from happening forever and ever and ever, amen, and for the rest of your life. Coaching is actually about changing who you are being with these thoughts and these feelings. It's about changing your relationship to your own thoughts and your feelings and what you do while you are holding these things. And today, I am going to be really exquisitely delicate and gentle with myself. I'm going to practice having a lot of self-compassion as I record this and probably after I stop recording this. And I am not kicking the can down any further. Down the road, artists. I am not procrastinating on podcasting this episode even or any longer because I know if I did, I would only increase my inertia, increase my resistance to pressing record, heighten my uncomfortable negative emotions so I feel even more scared, even more worried, and I will probably have noisier and more self-sabotagey thoughts. So I am showing up today anyway, perfectly imperfect. I am doing as Glenn Doyle has said, the hard thing. And I am purposely sharing this at the start of this season and this episode. So if there is something you are scared of doing that you've stopped doing and you want to restart, or if there's something you are scared of that is altogether new, hopefully by witnessing another creative human, me, on this parallel journey, you will have some comfort and solidarity that you are not alone. And in the event that you want something more than comfort and solidarity, in the event that you are still stuck and you want to get unstuck, you always have the option of coaching together with me, a professional certified coach and fellow artist. Just visit makingartistspodcast.com to find out how. The link is also available in the show notes. Now, let's get to what this podcast episode is actually about. And that's what's in and what's out. Or I'm probably going to be setting each item up as what's out and what's in. Now, if this sounds familiar, it's probably because you were on social media at the end of the year last year. I saw a bunch of lists and posts, some cheeky, some serious, forecasting what trends would be in and out for the new year. So here's one example of what might be out versus in for 2024. What's out? Rosé. What's in? Orange wine, which actually seems to be a current trend. Now, of course, as with trends, your taste may be different. If you're anything like me, you may be a rosé all day girly, even when orange wine is what's in. Now, I was inspired to make my own what's out and what's in list for you making artists because I thought it would be a fun framework for me to identify some common mindset mistakes I see in creative humans, aka what's out, and for me to offer some alternative solutions for them, aka what's in. Before we begin, I want to offer that if what I call out is actually working for you right now, great. Don't change anything. Cheers, hooray, like me, just keep drinking that rosé. But it might still be worth listening to what's in just in case you ever hit a ceiling with that mindset, even though there's no need to do anything differently today. Also, the point of this episode isn't to make anyone feel bad or wrong. Instead, it's to help those made to feel bad or wrong because the what's out way of thinking or doing things isn't working for them, and to give them, possibly you, a different solution that will actually work. Now, this is a broadly applicable topic, so this is a great episode to share with anyone in your circle, not just artists who also have big dreams, big goals, but their momentum has been lagging. Their reality isn't lining up with their imagination, and maybe they don't know why. So, y'all ready for the first one? The first, what's out and what's in. What's out? Downloading. What's in? Uploading. I'm making this one first because a lot of creatives blame their use of social media for why they haven't been creating. They are spending too much time on their phone. They are spending too much time on the apps. They're getting too much screen time. And artists, I want to offer that all screen time is not created equal. And I want to use this out and in to distinguish. It isn't social media wholesale that's responsible for why you aren't creating. It is how you are using social media. After all, there are a ton of people on social media, on Instagram, TikTok, X, or Twitter, who don't have problems creating. In fact, there are users who exclusively create new media content and are paid directly by the metaverse, ByteDance, sponsorships, etc. The difference is these humans are uploading what's in and not just downloading what's out. They are creating and not just consuming. There are tons of examples of this now on social media, on TikTok and YouTube, where we see these new media stars even make the jump to traditional media. Most recently, for example, we have Riza Tiza, who made the 8-hour, 50-part Who the Fuck Did I Marry series on TikTok. And she recently was signed with one of the big three agencies, CAA. We have improv comedians like Vinnie Thomas and Caitlin Riley get cast on shows like Apple TV's Platonic and HBO's Barry. And I have a ton of clients who have uploaded more than they have downloaded. I have one actor director who created a web series they posted on IG and YouTube that led to a paid New Media Limited series and a direct offer to act in a feature film. I have another singer-songwriter who went viral with a series of parody songs that expanded her online audience and reach in the metaverse. And I also coached another singer-songwriter to complete her EP and upload it onto music streaming services, which now has hundreds of subscribers, so she actually has another source of passive income. Now, of course, I want to acknowledge that these apps make it a lot easier to download than to upload. It is way easier to learn how to swipe, heart, comment, and follow with the tap than it is to figure out how to edit, filter, add captions, sound, to create whatever your vision is for a story, reel, carousel, etc. And the apps do financially benefit from keeping you on your screens simply downloading, scrolling, or even doom scrolling. But when it comes to all these social media apps, I want to discourage you from throwing the baby entirely out with the bathwater. When you upload, you have the opportunity to share your art, expand your reach, create community, make fans, have an audience, all of which help increase your visibility and possibility for success and money as an artist. This is something I coach artists on. So they not only understand the concept I'm giving you of uploading versus downloading, but they actually implement it. They create boundaries around their consumption and create space and an aptitude for creating. Now, as I mentioned, you might not have a problem with screen time. Maybe you aren't on it first thing in the morning. It isn't the last thing you do at night. It doesn't interfere with your well-being as a human or interfere with your creative practice as an artist, in which case, great. Keep downloading. Keep your downloading diet. You can circle the rest of this particular what's in disappearing ink. Hey artist, love what you're hearing here, but somehow just not able to do it on your own? You don't have to. I'm not just the host of the Making Artists podcast. I'm also a professional certified coach. And great news, I am currently taking on new one-on-one clients just like you. Sign up for a free first consult with me. In 45 minutes, we'll figure out what tweaks you need to make to experience creative success. Visit www.makingartistspodcast.com. That's making artists, plural with an S, thebrandpodcast.com to book. Link also available in the show notes. And now, back to the episode. And now, on to number two of what's out and what's in. What's out? Hubris. What's in? Humility. I know this one might need a little unpacking since I don't find either of these words commonly used day to day. And then after I unpack them, my thoughts might be spicy, even controversial. So to start, hubris, according to the internet, is defined as excessive confidence, perhaps even leading to dangerous complacency. Whereas humility is modesty, lacking pretense, not believing you are superior, especially to others. I was inspired to put this on the list because in my practice, I offer consults to artists so they can figure out if coaching is the right kind of support they want and if coaching with me is a right fit for them. And in these consults, I often ask people to give me their best guess as to why they aren't being the human they want to be, why they aren't making the art they want to make, and how come they aren't doing the thing they want to do. I invite them to tell me their hunch for why they haven't yet written the book, booked the role, optioned the story, signed with the agent, made the painting, sold the collection, etc., etc., etc. And they will frequently say that their hunch is it's because they lack confidence. And I'm going to invite you to consider that what they mean is they lack hubris. Because wouldn't it be hubristic, excessively confident, to 100%, 12 out of 10 believe you can do something that you haven't actually done yet in order to let yourself even start doing it? And in fact, isn't it normal and isn't it human to actually have some doubts about whether or not you can pull off something that you've never done before? Now, again, if you believe, one, that you need a certain amount of confidence to do something, and two, good news, you already have that certain amount of confidence, or you, three, have no problem accessing, cultivating, creating that certain amount of confidence, then good for you. Keep going with this mindset. Ignore what I'm calling what's out. And ignore what I'm going to offer as what's in instead. But often, people come to me because they are over-indexing on the importance of confidence and excessive confidence, and they're overestimating just how much is needed before they can just start, just begin, just take the first step or action. If you are that girly, it may be way easier and effective for you to start just by changing what's in for you this year and allowing humility to be what's in. Because maybe who you are right now is already humble. You might already not have any airs about whether you can actually pull off a genius grant, a New York Times bestseller, or an Academy Award win. You have no assumptions about whether your current capabilities will get you your dream. And the good news about this is, with humility, unlike with hubris, you won't be dangerously complacent. You don't feel entitled to having your dream. You don't feel insulted or above criticism. So you won't resist, defend, or ignore it. You understand that, hey, maybe your current level of talent, your current skill set, capabilities, and plan of action, or let's be real, inaction, isn't enough to get you where you want to go. So when you are humble, you are willing to grow and change in the ways that the dream and the life you want might need you to. You are willing to go and meet your dream where it's at instead of expecting, just because you're confident, to have your dream come to you. That might be the dangerous complacency the internet was talking and warning about when it defined hubris. I was inspired to make humility the what's in opposite hubris as the what's out after rereading Flow, the Psychology of Optimal Experience book by Mike C. I'm not going to try to say his name. I know he is informally nicknamed as Mike C, so that's what I'm going to call him in this podcast, but you can find his book in the show notes. And I'm talking about flow here because so many humans, especially artists, including myself, make art because it puts you in a flow state. And in this flow book, Mike identifies there are certain people who are more likely to experience flow, and one of their characteristics is low self-centeredness. People who don't think about themselves that much, who don't self-ruminate, who don't think about how confident they are, how confident they aren't, how much confidence they need. Because flow actually requires something closer to humility, the ability to stop thinking about yourself so that you can actually lose yourself completely in the present. When you're in flow, there is no time, no brain space for ego. You are just humbly, without pretense, doing the thing your art requires of you right now. I'm actually working on cultivating this humble mindset with an actor client of mine. They have a very common acting dream, which is to actually get paid union acting work. If this dream sounds familiar, it might be yours too. And like a lot of actors and humans, this particular client lacks the excessive confidence they assume must be required and that everyone else in the industry must, of course, have in order to be successful. And this belief in confidence and hubris as a prerequisite is stopping them from taking steps 2 and 3 of how to make it as an artist, which is step 2, make fans, and step 3, make asks. In this case, they need to want to create marketing materials as an actor so other people know who they are, know what they look like, know what they've done, and know where to find them. And we're working on this idea of humility and surrender, approaching this project with a humble mindset and surrendering any expectation of what will happen next. Because especially in Hollywood and on Broadway, you need other people to make your art. You cannot do it all by yourself. You cannot be self-made. In fact, spoiler alert, self-made is a myth, period, but that's the subject for another podcast. So you cannot be above the process of booking jobs, which includes producers, directors, casting, agents, managers. So instead, accept it. Be humble before it. Be not above it. Surrender to it. And if you do, as an extra credit bonus surprise, you might experience flow in the business side of your art. What? Did you even know that was possible? And one way to be that girly is to be what's in, to be humble. And instead of you believing, you need what's out. Excessive confidence. Hubris. Do you like by use of the word girly, I'm like clearly a millennial trying to be a cool Gen Zer. So perhaps that's my humble practice for this episode. And now on to my third and final what's out and what's in. What's out? Quality. What's in? Quantity. This may also be a spicy and controversial one, but I hope in making some of these spicy and controversial, they will be memorable for if and when you need them. So let's talk about what's out, quality. The origin story for this what's out is my discovery that a lot of creatives are also perfectionists. And by discovery, I also mean discovering that I am that way. And they, or should I say we, relate to our creative process as first starting out with this perfect chef's kiss piece of art in our heads, and the creative process is our challenge to recreate that vision in our brains exactly as it was into reality. And the measure of whether what I made in reality is quality is all about how much of a match my performance, my writing, my painting, my podcast is with what I originally created or expected in my brain. And as a perfectionist, I might spend a lot of extra time getting this thing that was already pretty close to what I originally envisioned to becoming an exact copy-paste. Because I believe getting it to a copy-paste exact standard would be an improvement in what's out quality. But what happens to my experience when I reach for, prioritize quality this way? Is it happening at the expense of me as a human, of my joy? Does spending all my creative time making one piece of art good, better, best, actually making me, its artist, its creator, miserable? Is this process sustainable? Might it actually be stopping me from learning more about myself or my creative process as an artist if I decided to work on more than one idea, project, story, vision, etc. instead? That's right. I'm talking about what's in. Quantity. Of course, if you find yourself challenged and gratified and satisfied by working on just your current pièce de résistance, only one magnum opus, and you are becoming the exact artist you want to become by having a very limited body of work, you don't need to make quality your what's out. But for everyone else, I invite you to consider quantity as what might be in to best serve you and your creative practice. How would having more than one project change you as an artist? How would your talent, skills, capabilities grow, improve, transform from giving them multiple opportunities to practice? What would you learn about beginning, moving through the messy middle, and completing something by doing it over and over and over more than once? How would that, ironically, as a bonus extra credit side benefit, actually improve the quality of everything else you did moving forward? To make the case for what's in quantity, I'm going to reference an anecdote in the book Trust the Process by Sean McNiff, which I have probably mentioned before, and I will also link in the show notes. In it, Sean talks about how two totally different pottery making classes were given two different grading metrics. One was going to be graded entirely on the quality of one piece they chose and submit at the end of the semester, while the other was going to be graded on the volume and weight of all the clay they used during that semester. And what they found was that the pieces produced by the second class, which was graded on the quantity of clay, were better quality than the pieces that came out of the first class, whose students only had to produce one thing they determined was of best quality. Now, I admit I did not create this experiment or run it. I have no idea who did, who they are, and I personally don't know what the objective or their subjective metrics for good or bad pottery are. But I do believe as a coach and as a creative that allowing yourself to make mistakes, not be precious about making mistakes, and not putting high stakes and pressure on yourself because hashtag quality might be an experiment worth trying. This is something I talked about in my two-part Taylor Swift episode because it's something that she does in her songwriting practice. She writes and records so many songs for each album, knowing that they won't be the final cut quality tracks that might make it to the final album, even though they might find a second life out of the vault for subsequent editions and releases. So I will also link those episodes in the show notes regarding Taylor Swift's best practices and what's in for her. And on a personal note, this quantity practice is something that I have done before as well. I, for instance, tried it last year for this challenge for actors called Self-Tape May. So it's a challenge started by Audrey Moore of the Audrey Helps Actors podcast, which she has done and which she encourages other actors to do, like me. And it is to practice your on-camera acting technique by filming 16 self-tapes of your choice in the month of May. She's run this challenge for years. Last year was the first year I decided to do it, and I actually accomplished the 16 self-tapes. So you'll notice this is a quantity practice to get to better quality, to learn about what your self-tape practice is, and to have a lot of data points so you know what kind of actor you are and what you want to improve. And this quantity practice, personally for me, up-leveled my self-taping skills. It helped me figure out what upgrades my setup needed, how I wanted to change my tech, how I wanted to use my tech. It taught me how to make my setup turnkey because I didn't want to have to break it down and put it back up 16 times inefficiently and ineffectively. It helped me figure out what my order of operations are between wardrobe, hair and makeup, memorizing lines, doing the slate, performing script analysis. It helped me figure out what my workflow is. I credit that month with making me the kind of actor today who has already been able to tape 16 auditions for paying gigs in the 2024 new year. So if you find the idea of aiming for quality is getting you stuck, blocked, creating resistance between you and your art, I invite you to have a new what's in for 2024, quantity. So let's recap this episode's what's outs and what's ins. First up, what's out, downloading. What's in, uploading. Second, what's out? Hubris. What's in? Humility. And third, what's out? quality and what's in quantity. Now, to be honest, I have a lot more ins and outs that I could have put on this list in this episode. But in the practice of not making this perfect, not making this the most comprehensive, not shooting for quality, which would take much more time, effort, focus than, quite frankly, I have for this podcast episode this week, I'm just gonna quit while I'm ahead and start the audio post-production process. I'm going to move on to the next scary thing of starting to release this episode into the world. Y'all, I'm gonna practice uploading. See what I did there? So thanks for being with me on this episode of Making Artists to witness me talk my own talk and walk my own walk, so you have the example of one other human just like you doing the same. I hope this inspires you to keep making your art. Until next time. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Making Artists podcast. Are you ready to start making your best art, money, and life right now? Good news, you can coach with me to make it all happen. Book your free consult at www.makingartistspodcast.com. That's makingartists, plural with an S, .com. Link available in the show notes. Or just keep in touch via Instagram and TikTok at TheNancySun. Or subscribe to my newsletter, link also available in the show notes. Want to help more artists find this podcast? Subscribe, rate, and review Making Artists wherever you listen to this episode. Or forward this to an art friend you think really needs to hear this. Until next time, keep making your art.